Hello, everyone. Thank you for your feedback on the Resolution Podcast. I've been doing a lot of goal setting with our food trainers clients, and I'm hearing a lot of an interest in mental health. When we ask our clients for what they want more of in 2020, we're hearing a lot of things like peace and calm. And when I was away recently, sadly no longer away, yeah, happy to be here, I had posted on Instagram about feeling that anxiety building about reentry, and I felt people were, you know, sort of super responsive and related a lot. And so today we're talking all about anxiety. It's a huge topic, and I'm a nutritionist and not a mental health expert. So I'm going to tackle this definitely more from, you know, sort of my vantage point and what I can recommend that would help. In terms of my own history, anxiety for me when I was younger related a lot to performance, like performance on an exam or performance in sports, and also like preceding change. My mother had a lot of words to use for how I acted like a week or so before going to camp or any impending change, the start of a school year or that kind of thing. But interestingly, and it might be a generational thing, I never thought of it, or I was never told or, you know, learned the word anxiety, I think, until I got much older. It was sort of just Lauren. And I'm here with Kayleen. Kayleen runs our shop. And this is a really good example because she presents in this like lovely, calming way. A client recently said she has the nicest demeanor. She's like blushing now. But interestingly, when I brought up the topic for this podcast, it was the first time that I had heard Kayleen said, "Oh, that's my favorite topic." I had no idea that Kayleen was an anxious person. And I felt a little bit like an idiot because we work so closely together. But it just, you know, sort of shows you that, you know, you can't always gauge that even once you get to know somebody. Kayleen, do you want to like share a little bit? Because I think your anxiety is different than my anxiety.
Yeah. Well, I can definitely relate to you saying that's just Lauren, because right. My family is the same way. If they're listening out there, that's just Kayleen. And I've been anxious since I was a kid too. A lot of the performance stuff, like you mentioned, but also a lot of social anxiety. Like looking back, I can see it definitely wasn't just shyness. I was a very shy kid, but it was
right,
more
it
than
could
that.
Be masked by shyness.
Yeah. Or people just assume that it's just shyness and like you'll grow out of it.
Right.
And I kind of did because like, as you said, you know, I do have this like very like friendly, open demeanor, but on the inside, it's definitely like I always worry
about people's insides.
Yeah. But I take care of it. Like it's not something that I just let it bottle up. I know, and I'm aware of it because I've had it since I was a kid.
And I think that's, you know, good for people to hear too, because I do think like kind of it's more reassuring when I'm like, okay, like I literally felt my heart racing as I started doing work emails again and getting back into things. It was like in an instant, I went from like vacation zen to like, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
I also thought it was interesting when you talked about the seminar that you had gone to. So Kayleen went to this seminar or group about anxiety a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you think?
I told Lauren I left like feeling more anxious, like didn't make me feel better. It was people sharing their experiences more than like mental health experts giving advice. And I think that's might have what it been.
They didn't tell you what to do.
They didn't tell us what to do. My anxiety was different than theirs. And I was like, oh my gosh, like how am I going to, I didn't get any real ways to cope. Or
nothing actionable. So we're going to try to do that differently. But I think also what Kayleen mentioned, sometimes, and this is a little off topic, but sometimes sharing with people, you know, sort of your similarities or like, I'm anxious, you're anxious, we're all anxious, makes you more anxious.
Yeah.
Like sometimes things are comforting, but sometimes group experiences can be, you know, sort of anxiety provoking or maybe not give you what you need.
Maybe that was my social anxiety too, in a room full of people.
lots of different causes. So today we're really going to try to focus on strategies. I'm reading a book called Why Can't We Sleep? It focuses on, you know, my generation, Gen Xers, women in their 40s, and exactly what we just said. Like I'm nodding along as they give examples about parenting and, you know, the stressors in my age group, but I'm like, okay, tell me what to do. And, you know, a little bit on types of anxiety. There's like, oh, so many flavors when it comes to anxiety. There's social anxiety, general anxiety disorder, a panic disorder, agoraphobia, and other phobias. We have a lot of clients actually, it comes up a lot. fears of flying and really interesting strategies that are specific to that. Social anxiety disorder is actually the most common form of anxiety disorders. And what was the statistic? 13 out of 100 people meet the criteria for social anxiety disorder. So if you're at a party, chances are more than, you know, one in 10 people might be feeling this the same way you are. And there's a lot of triggers for anxiety. Like even happiness can trigger anxiety when it comes to keeping it or maintaining or what's going to happen next.
Yeah, something's going to go wrong.
Of course. But I guess that's like the opposite of like being in the moment, right? Sort of worrying
that's
about
true.
What's going to happen in the future. So should we dive in?
Yes, Lauren, please tell us all what to do.
Okay. Well, we'll sort of give you some tools to work with. So each of these topics that I'm going to talk about really could almost be their own podcast. So sorry if this podcast ends up being a little bit longer. We'll try to keep it. We like to keep them, you know, sort of digestible. So I'm going to be really honest here. The first thing that I want to talk about is gut health. And you know, when you like hear things a lot of times and things don't necessarily click, I've been talking about gut health for years. I've been talking about the gut as the second brain and gut health and mood. And to be really honest, even as somebody who tends to be anxious, I interpreted mood much more as, you know, like a mood boost or feeling, you know, not feeling blue or not not dipping and not necessarily anxiety. And it was only as we've sort of been looking at, and the research is still young, which cultures and probiotics do different things, did I realize that there are actually different strains, some strains that help for depression, some strains that help for anxiety. And the cool thing is that the culture that's been pinpointed a lot in terms of helping with food cravings and weight is actually the same one that seems to be right now the most helpful in terms of anxiety, and that's Lactobacillus rhamnosus. I always think of it as rhinoceros.
That's what it looks like, yeah.
But you'll see all these different names when you're purchasing a probiotic, and our probiotic that we have contains that one as well. So healthy bacteria in general increases levels of something called GABA, little science lesson, which is a neurotransmitter that decreases stress. So GABA works to reduce levels of adrenaline and noradrenaline, you know, sort of those, you know, sort of stress responses. And high amounts of GABA is linked to feeling relaxed and happy, while low levels can lead to insomnia, feeling anxious, stressed, and depressed. So the better your sort of gut health is, and that can be via supplement or certain foods, you're going to have the greater likelihood of having a balance of those neurotransmitters you need for your mood. So again, another just, you know, the millionth reason to sort of take your gut health seriously, take a probiotic, as Kayleen said, and also certain foods. We love fermented vegetables are one of the best food sources of probiotics. You could have like a tablespoon of a kraut or pickles. Very polarizing
food. My favorite. My sisters make fun of me for liking sauerkraut.
I eat it plain. Delicious. But again, you're either a pickle kraut person or you're not. Same with apple cider vinegar. I'd probably put that sort of taste profile. Collagen protein, very good for healing the gut. If maybe you've been on antibiotics or been post-holidays with having things that you maybe shouldn't have, which we'll get to in a bit, sugar and alcohol, which are not good for your gut. I always say the three B's in terms of gut health: berries, Brussels sprouts, and broccoli. Very good for promoting, you know, sort of for having those probiotics flourish. And prebiotic foods, they're all like sort of all the smelly veggies here, onions, leeks, scallions, garlic. Definitely eat those, include those in salads if you're making them. Prebiotics feed your probiotics. So, you know, it's not just necessarily taking a probiotic, you know, food first, as we always say, and back that up with a probiotic as well. It's not as clear in foods and it differs batch to batch which cultures are in there. So if you do want to go after, let's say, that rhamnosus or rhinoceros culture, you want to be taking a supplement. So gut health is one. Sort of a non-food item. I always feel like sometimes, and I'm like definitely guilty of like going to the specific new interesting item instead of the basics. Mm-hmm. So one thing is that's super helpful for anxiety is breathing. So my friend, Kristen McGee, who's just an amazing, check her out on Instagram. You probably are already following her. She has, a ton of followers. But she's one of those experts for me who inspires without making you feel like bad about yourself, and she's, super pretty and, has a beautiful family. But for some reason I commented and told her this, that she doesn't ever push that jealousy or envy button in me.
That's nice.
we all have that with some people. And I suggest unfollowing those for your anxiety. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was messaging with Kristen about this podcast, and she said something that resonated with me, that we tend to hold our breath when we're anxious. And she said that, it doesn't necessarily have to be formal meditation, but when you breathe, focus on exhaling longer than you inhale. And that's how your body can let go of stress. I find counting very helpful when I do breathing exercises. I do something called box breathing that we can post the link to. But so if you were, let's say, to inhale for 3 with Kristen's tip, you would exhale maybe for a count of 4 or something like that. Really, sort of having a deep exhale. And what I like about breathing is that it doesn't cost anything.
It keeps you alive.
I like a lot about breathing, but breathing exercises, it doesn't, you don't have to go to a studio. It doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't take a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And when I remember, and I don't always, but 3 minutes of breathing, 2 minutes maybe, is you feel the stress leaving your body. Okay. So we've got health. We have breathing. Breathe right now. Kayleen's doing it and counting. The third item, which might be one of these more specific, is an herb called rhodiola. I think you're probably more familiar to most of you listening are adaptogens. Mm-hmm. If you're sort of been around the wellness block, you're hearing about this class of herbs that improves your stress response, similarly to how we were talking about gut health. So, and the thing that I like about rhodiola is that I'm someone who sort of can have anxiety at the start of the day. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I have so many things to do. And rhodiola is a little bit of an upper, and it's one that you do take in the morning. And the other thing that's really great about it is that a lot of supplements, vitamin D and probiotics, can take a little while to kick in and mm-hmm. sort of get them working for you. But rhodiola, you can see results in a few days.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that actually earlier. If you start taking stuff, how long?
It's such a good question because I think we're all impatient.
Yeah.
So with most things, I usually, say it's just a good rule of thumb, finish the bottle. Mm-hmm. So I think with a probiotic, you're not going to necessarily, sometimes you actually even feel worse before you feel better because real estate in your intestines is changing. So it's actually unusual. I would say sometimes your B vitamins, but for things to give you a mm-hmm. result so quickly. And I think when you're sort of at, your wit's end with anxiety, you do want something that is going to give you a quick fix.
Yeah.
So there was a UCLA study. They were doing it was for generalized anxiety disorder, a 10-week study. They saw an improvement before the end of the first week. If you are buying rhodiola, you want, because there's a lot of crap in any sort of supplement category, especially the more popular it gets. You'll see something on the label that says Rosuvin, which is the, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but that's the active ingredient in rhodiola. And so you want to look for 2 or 3% Rosuvin. Pure Encapsulations is a good brand that we like. Okay. So rhodiola is my favorite adaptogen for anxiety. Another supplement that you would take in the morning are B vitamins. So B complex are usually 8 different B vitamins that work synergistically. So I'm not we talked a lot about B6 in the, I think it's episode 17, the PMS and perimenopause, the hormone episode, which is a good one if you want to go back and listen. B12 is used for energy a lot. But we suggest taking your B vitamins as a complex, which means taking them all together. And just some of the names, there's, thiamine is a B vitamin, riboflavin is a B vitamin, niacin, and then of course your folic acid, biotin. So they all have slightly different functions. Again, B6 We use it for hormone applications. B5 is, you know, helpful for your adrenals, which take a hit under stress. B3 helps with serotonin production. So again, no more biochem, but
flashbacks.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I think trying to pull some of that information out of my head.
That was good.
But you just take them together. That's the net. And definitely they're helpful in terms in terms of anxiety.
Yeah. We're excited to announce that we are getting a new addition to the Food Trainer supplement family. Yeah, we just private labeled a great new B complex. And you guys know we love to give little fun names for all of them. So this one is going to be called B Sane.
Which is always nice.
Yes.
I'd like to be sane.
Makes sense for this podcast.
Also, like, anxiety took a hit because our be sane has been being late.
But it could be available today.
Okay, sorry. Okay, so moving on. In terms of vitamins, there are some that we, and we also did a vitamin podcast, that we recommend that almost everybody take. If you are taking medications, especially multiple medications, check with your doctor just because things can interact. But vitamin D, magnesium, probiotic, which we already talked about, and omega-3s are, we call it our food trainer's foursome, but they're also, you know, it's also like a mood foursome because they all have an impact. Vitamin D, it affects the genes that support the, you know, production of serotonin. Having, you know, sort of vitamin D helps for both anxiety and also for like blues and winter blues this time of year. We suggest a higher dose than most people take of vitamin D just because we see levels that are so low. So typically you'll see like 1,000 or 2,000 on a lot of supplements. Get your vitamin D tested. But if it's low or even if it's like around normal, we would suggest taking 5,000. Next, magnesium. So magnesium we call our chill pills, magnesium citrate. And I actually, my best friend was just texting me that she had started taking the chill pills and noticed like a significant difference in her sleep. It's not necessarily a sleep aid, but it definitely does help. We suggest you take it at night, relaxing before bed. And magnesium, like vitamin D, and they're actually, you know, sort of, you know, magnesium is important for vitamin D. It's important. It's
like
good to take vitamin D.
Or,
yeah, exactly. To take them in tandem, or take have them both in your routine. Helpful for both depression and anxiety as well. Really, just like magnesium is a chill pill. It helps like dial back the volume of that fight or flight stress response. And omega-3s. So low omega-3s predispose you to depression and anxiety. There was a study last year in, I think, JAMA, that looked at omega-3 supplementation with respect to anxiety. And they actually found that, again, a little bit higher than is usually recommended, 2,000 instead of 1,000 was more effective. So what we sort of... our omega-3 is 1,000, but we do recommend that clients who eat fish try to eat get some of their omega-3s from food, eating 4 fish meals a week, very partial to wild fish, also wild Alaskan fish. Salmon is low in mercury and high in omega-3s. And also even some of your plant sources, they're not as absorbable as your seafood, but things like chia seeds and hemp and walnuts, we have a mixture that's chia and coconut and probiotics. So, you know, you have your probiotics and the chia, both good for anxiety, called Coco Chia. That's really, really good. Yeah, exactly. You're getting like a 2-for-1.
We can't forget our walnuts too, though. Oh, they're the best.
The old dog walnuts. So we have these walnuts. We have them in rosemary and maple. The maple is like outstanding and they're coming in a flavor. It's called
golden herb. I think because it's
garlic and golden herb.
Yeah.
We could do better. Yeah. We call them ranch.
They
so old dog,
like
if
ranch.
You're listening. But I think again, walnuts are something that like a lot of clients say they don't like or don't like the texture. I always was like so annoyed when I was younger when there was like a walnut in a brownie or something like that.
That's true.
Like an obstacle. But we've come full circle with walnuts. They're the only nut that contains omega-3s. That's why. We're so partial to them. And we found these walnuts and we've like converted a lot of walnut haters. And they're a great California company. So the 4 vitamins that really you should supplement and not just rely on, certainly not for vitamin D with food, are vitamin D, magnesium, omega-3s, and probiotics. So if you're not taking any of those, definitely add those to routine. The next one, I just always like that not everything is like a pill or a food. Talked about breathing. And also one that can be helpful is time with friends. It's a little tricky because if you're like when you have social anxiety, and even just when you're going through a very anxious patch, you can avoid making plans. But connection, and it doesn't, again, have to be with big groups of people. It could be with a coworker here. It could be with you know, a family member. It could be with a partner. It can actually be anxiety releasing. That, you know, sort of oxytocin that you get is anxiety suppressing. And know yourself. You know, sometimes also another tip is meeting someone for something that involves movement, which is anxiety relieving. So going for a walk, going to a yoga class, then you don't have to
talk. You know, you're in my brain.
What?
You're in my brain when I think about that.
I mean, and again, it's like you have to tailor that the advice to you. Like for some people, family's very comforting. For me, no, can be the opposite of oxytocin. But again, I think that, you know, there are things. I had a friend who, I think I mentioned this on another podcast, had read an article about oxytocin. And she's like very, you know, she likes to implement something when she knows it's helpful. And she's like texting us. She's like, I just read an article. I'm like, okay, you don't want to see us for any other reason other than the fact that you heard that it was good for you. But it is. And I think the winter we can, you know, sort of make fewer plans. Two herbs that are great if you're, I actually have it at both ends of the day. If a lot of anxiety presents at bedtime, and results in insomnia. So passion flower and valerian, which we take in something, these drops called Sweet Dreams, which actually taste good, are very helpful for both that overlap of anxiety and insomnia. And the company that we like is Wooden Spoon Herbals.
It's good. On their website, they say that it provides, like, it helps falling asleep and then you don't have that hangover, they call it, when you wake up.
That's a good point, actually, because a lot of things that you take to help you sleep leave you feeling poorly the next day. Although you took them when you did. It says, it's a little confusing, Wooden Spoon, because the tincture says that you could take 5 to 30 drops. So the first time I took them, I'm like, I'm only going to take 5. I'm very prudent.
For some reason, I took 30. I slept really well.
I'm sure you did. I'm glad you woke up though. No, the thing with, I joke, but valerian and passion flower are super safe. And and that's why we feel comfortable recommending them. And with everything, contrary to what Kayleen did, I think it's always good to both start, you know, at the lower end of things and work your way up. Again, when we want something to work, we're like, I'm just going to take, you know, someone's like, I mean, I just pour it in my mouth. I'm like, okay, maybe we should count a little bit. And the same thing with doing everything at once. It's another point I wanted to raise. I'm talking about a lot of things, but I think like one new item a week is a good way to gauge, you know, how you're responding to it. Like we said, with things that you respond to, sort of, you know, if you're having an adverse reaction to a lot of things. So space them out a little bit. CBD, you're probably hearing a lot about CBD. Just like I said with rhodiola, there's a whole lot of crap out there in this category because there's a lot of money to be made. Katie Couric actually did, I forget what her new podcast is called, but she did sort of like a skeptic's look at CBD. She interviewed a scientist who's looking at CBD for opiate withdrawal. She then also interviewed the founder of one of our favorite CBD companies, Laura Jones. There was an actress. Anyway, she gave different viewpoints. And of course, the you know, the net was that it definitely is worth your while. But I really liked it. So check that out. We've kissed a lot of, you know, CBD frogs. And Laura Jones, which I mentioned, who makes boxes of, they do a whole line, but we love these boxes of these beautiful gummies.
Their gummies are so good, yeah.
What flavors do we have?
We have, right now, we always have different ones, but we have mango chili, green apple, and we have a few black currant left.
And they're all good. They, as Kayleen said, they change their flavors. So really,
for some reason, we can't put them on our website, but we can still sell them.
I don't understand why.
I know, they've like given us a reason, but we don't.
We have the other, we have Wildflower on the website.
The tincture, yeah.
But you can email Kayleen, K-A-Y-L-E-E-N, at foodtrainers.com. It feels like a little bit like a drug deal.
Every time I post it on Instagram.
She'll send them in discreet like, packaging.
DM me.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is that I love the gummies, but I found I wanted a little bit more CBD, and it's CBD is very safe in mm-hmm. high amounts. So I actually switched over to Wildflower tincture.
Yeah.
I do travel with the CBD gummies, and I like if any hotels are listening, I thought it would be such a good idea if hotels gave you like a CBD gummy instead of like a chocolate.
Oh, that'd be good.
On your pillow at night.
Help you sleep.
I'd stay there. Exactly. Because I actually, I sound like a little bit like a nut, but I'm sure people can relate. Like when I'm away, I get nervous, especially with jet lag. Mm-hmm. Like, what if I'm not going to... Meanwhile, I have nothing to wake up for the next day.
But hotel sleep, yeah, you never know.
In a new bed, mm-hmm. It could be noisy, that kind of thing. CBD has applications with lots of types of anxiety, from social anxiety to public speaking, generalized anxiety, OCD, PTSD. And CBD works by boosting your serotonin receptors, which is similar to how SSRI, a lot of the medications that are used, as antidepressants work. We're not saying, stop taking mm-hmm. your meds, save your emails. But what we found a lot with natural remedies is that, over time, if you're interested in it, if it's an option, something like the valerian or the passion flower can replace something that's like a sleep medication.
Sleep med? Mm-hmm.
Again, talk to your doctor, sort of wean yourself slowly off of things. I'm not advocating that you can't take any medications, mm-hmm. but a lot of them do have side effects. And actually, a side point, like my mother's remedy for whenever she couldn't handle the fact that I was anxious, and obviously she had a prescription too, was to take half a Xanax, mm-hmm. Even as early as
a kid,
which definitely works. And I, had for many years a prescription of Xanax and would take it, I would say twice a year, maybe mm-hmm. around travel or a really stressful time, not too regularly, but the more I dive into brain health, that whole class of medications concerns me a little bit. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't want to freak anybody out, but just anything that you're taking, sort of look into, is this really good for me?
Yeah.
Even as we'll talk about in a little bit, things like Advil, we definitely shouldn't be popping like candy. There was a study, we put it in one of our newsletters. It was a Scientific American wrote it up, and they looked at CBD in non-using drug addicts. And those in the CBD groups exhibited reduced craving for, said substance. And also, this is actually the more interesting part to me, reduced levels of cortisol in their saliva. Mm-hmm. So seeing that it's not only working in terms of your serotonin, but reducing
the stress
hormones. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kava comes up a lot. I think CBD is sort of similar. There's actually a kava bar downtown, or there used to be.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
I haven't been brave enough to try it either.
Yeah. It's just, I sort of don't like, I feel like it made me sort of maybe less anxious, but sort of nauseous.
Uh-huh.
Sort of that woozy, sort of not, definitely not something that I could do and work.
Yeah. Did you feel were you drugged?
I just
That's
felt
an intense
like,
word, but
yeah, no, I, nothing against drugged. I felt drugged in a bad way,
mm-hmm.
not
in a calming way.
Yeah. Not fun.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's so individual. Some people, all of these things that I just recommended, I have clients who swear by them
mm-hmm.
and also
and some
who say this didn't do anything
yeah.
for me. So you kind of have to sort that out. Some specific foods, and I am always hesitant to pick out a food because this is not about one food or even one secret weapon, as
mm-hmm.
we call them. It's really about doing a lot of things right and trying to do as many things as you can. But some foods, in terms of serotonin, foods containing an amino acid called tryptophan, which you probably hear about around Thanksgiving.
Turkey.
Yeah. But there's lots of foods. Eggs are actually an excellent source. And in general, and you do want to eat the yolks in eggs. Yolks are extremely rich in tryptophan, again, to boost our serotonin, but also there's choline and biotin in an egg yolk. Pineapple actually one of your favorites.
Yeah.
Works.
I didn't know that it had
tryptophan. Yeah, is a serotonin booster. Big fans of dark chocolate, but also cacao. There's polyphenols in cacao and dark chocolate. They help mood in multiple ways. Also magnesium in dark chocolate, mm-hmm. which we talked about earlier. Turmeric, another really good for both anxiety and depression. So again, it might entices you to eat those foods. Those are all healthy foods. It gives us a reason, you know, to sort of eat chocolate mm-hmm. and
pineapple
and pineapple and all these and cook up some eggs. My favorite, but I can't say that like an egg is going to make you a less anxious mm-hmm. person on its own. We'll breeze through these, but you know, there are don'ts or do less of or things that definitely aren't going to help you in your routine if you suffer from anxiety to any degree. Dehydration. So dehydration can mimic like shaky, mm-hmm. You know, sort of edgy. So dehydration can mimic a lot of signs of anxiety. So we don't need more edgy, shaky in our lives. another reason to drink. Sugar. So we talked about all those things that are so good for gut health. Sugar is probably one of the worst mm-hmm. things for gut health. And then there's also just the blood sugar, the anxiety is not just hanger, but anxiety, your blood sugar being low affecting your anxiety. And that's one of the reasons also why like aggressive intermittent fasting isn't always good for women because we're so sensitive to blood sugar mm-hmm. and it can make us anxious and it also can make us, you know, super hungry.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, sort of, I would say like, you know, really condensed eating is better for men. Mm-hmm. Also gluten. So I think, you know, one of the myths I can't stand is that the only people that should be gluten-free are people with celiac. Mm. Completely not true. I think that if you struggle with any mental health condition, actually, try a strict 30-day gluten-free experiment. I wouldn't want to put my money on. I would almost guarantee that.
Should I do it?
Kayleen's going to start today. We didn't add it to our resolution mm-hmm. list. And you'll definitely feel better. We talked about meds a little bit earlier. So in terms of anxiety, antibiotics, birth control pills, NSAIDs, your Advil, your Motrin. Again, if you have to take one of these things, you know, I'm not here to judge. But if you have a choice or if your anxiety is really something that, you know, sort of you're making a priority to work on, mm-hmm. Just consider those. This is a sad one. Coffee. So I'm not saying other than extreme cases that you need to cut coffee, but you certainly want to cut high coffee. I actually, for most clients, suggest coffee in the morning only. And then if you need coffee later in the day, midday, afternoon, to switch to green tea. Mm-hmm. There's something in green tea. It's not just that it's lower in caffeine. It's that there's an amino acid that called theanine. People actually take theanine supplement, mm-hmm. L-theanine, that is relaxing.
So it's sort
of a little, you know, it's going to give you less of the jitters. Green tea, matcha, even though it's in the green tea family,
doesn't have more caffeine.
It's higher in caffeine, and it also, I think, probably due to that, mm-hmm. doesn't have as much of that. It might have as much L-theanine, but people report definitely being a little more jittery.
Yeah.
So again, especially if you're on a lot of meds, check with a doctor. For instance, CBD can sometimes intensify the effects of other sleep aids. But I think that just like in general, having a plan is anxiety mm-hmm. reducing.
I agree. What
we were talking about before. Not pressure, you need to do all these things tomorrow, but just like, it's just like having tools in your toolkit, mm-hmm. you know? And I think just like popping a pill, like pop a chill pill instead, you know, just again, it's, I think, you know, there is some, I don't want to say placebo effect, but I would say in addition to a real effect, kind of just feeling like this is my secret mm-hmm. weapon, gives you some comfort.
Definitely. Yeah.
So what do you think? Do you feel better or feel worse?
No, I definitely feel better. And I know I do some of these things, so I know it's probably out there helping.
What would you say of, and no pressure, what would you say like currently are the ones that come to mind that you do?
So I do the chill pills at night mm-hmm. And I take a probiotic in the morning, which are two things that I hadn't really done consistently in a while.
Okay.
I don't do sweet dreams every night. I do that more of when I can't sleep. And maybe that's why I did the 30 drops at a time.
Something helped me.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah. And like Kayleen said, some things you really should take your probiotic daily mm-hmm. or most, you know, every day that you remember or can. You might find that you can, you know, the sweet dreams is not something that needs to build up in your system. Mm-hmm,
exactly.
So you can sort of, that's a good point.
Is that a thing with CBD actually? Like the more you take it, you have to continue taking more?
I don't know if, I mean.
I feel like there might be some stuff out there that
you acclimate to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny I do have taken more than mm-hmm. I did. I kind of was just like, I kind of want more of an effect.
Yeah.
but that's an interesting point. So should we do a question?
Yeah. Q&A.
So again, Q&A is our new segment in the podcast. You can email me at lauren@foodtrainers.com or ask us on Insta or mm-hmm. Facebook. Who do we have okay. today?
So this question is from Susie on Instagram, and she asked for your real thoughts on carbs and how many an average female can eat.
What's an average female? Susie, tell me. Are we average?
Am I average? Pretend it's
I'm feeling below average today. But yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. Like somebody who's like basically in good health maybe. And well, here. So I hate an independent, it depends answer. But I'm going to answer the carb question in light of today's topic. So gluten, as I said, our plans are predominantly gluten-free. I don't really think gluten does anything for us. Wheat in our country is usually heavily sprayed. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like for our health, gluten isn't doing us any favors. But I certainly think when we're talking about mood and we're talking about serotonin, you don't want to be, you can be no gluten, but you don't want to be no carb. So I think what works for a lot of women, whether you have a weight loss goal or you don't have a weight loss goal, is to be lower carb. And by that, I mean like not having a carb at every mm-hmm. meal, like I'd love to, or, you know, something like one carb a day works for a lot of our clients, one meal with a carb a day. We're talking about, I hate this term, but good carbs or healthy carbs, sweet potatoes, spaghetti squash, quinoa. I love black rice, brown rice, you know, sort of good quality gluten breads. Mm-hmm. Things of that nature.
Gluten-free breads.
Did I say that?
You said gluten breads.
Oh, gluten-full breads. Maybe I haven't had my carb today. I did just have some Jill's crackers, though. So one a day works well. Now, we also have clients that come in and they're like, you know, phobic of carbs and trying to shun carbs completely. So I would say, you know, at the minimum, 2-3 servings mm-hmm. of carbs a week. And again, usually don't go quite that low, but I would say that your carbs should not be at zero. And we're talking about, you know, your carbs. Yes, fruits and vegetables have carbs, but we're talking about your starchy vegetables and your gluten-free grains. Susie, that's what I'd say. I'd say if you eat gluten, try and experiment without it. If you are having carbs at breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and after dinner, maybe try for starters one meal a day without them, which is a good, you know, sort of entry tip. And if you're, you know, wanting to do something a little bit more aggressive or have a weight loss goal, maybe go down to 1 to 2 a day, something mm-hmm. like that. So hope that's helpful.
Yeah.
Continue to submit your questions. We'll answer one a week. And thank you for listening.
Yeah. It would help my anxiety if you guys let us know how we're doing. You can
only let us know good stuff.
Yes. You know, things that you like. You can leave us a review, rate, all that good stuff.
Yeah. And we'll be back next week with another episode. Thank you.
Thanks.